Shall one write in the beginning of the visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne? This Thursday about noon, afternoon, after lunch, the 27th of January, 72. Channel 1 right, and the beginning of the visit with Shirley and Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne. This Thursday afternoon, after lunch, the 27th of January, 72.
For my lunch, and then she brought my dinner over, and I sat down and ate that. And, what's Mr. Miles doing today?
I don't know. it's just so beautiful. We just can't stay in.
It's too nice to be in the house.
We've been out with the cows. We've been out with a little of everything.
Yeah. Here he comes. He's alive. Hi.
I was told Faye she miscued. We ought to gone over to your house.
Well, that's it.
Is Mary eat some of this?
I tell you, we got
Miles,
up.
I just couldn't not.
We got up and we were going to Julia's with her visit with her for a little bit because she's been, Mrs. Guthrie says she's been kind of down the dumps and looking for me to come over, and I haven't been over, so I thought, well, we'll do that the first thing in the morning. So we got up this morning intending to go over there.
Your car was gone.
I was to be at her place and pick her up at 10:30. We're going on over to Julia's. No. And, I was just about ready to leave the house. I had to run down to see Freddie a minute and show him where to put a fence across the back end of the place down there. And I called Mrs. Guthrie to tell her that I would be a few minutes late, and she said, Julia's already left. She's gone to town with her daughter. So we weren't going to Julia's. So she says, you might as well come on over here. I said, all right, but I'll do that as soon as I get back from the field. Well, sorry, Bob, I got down there in the field, and I wish I had never gone down there. And I got in that car and tried to start it, and it sounded just like a dead battery. I guess that's what was wrong. But anyhow, I walked all the way out back to the house to get the jumper cables. Freddie wasn't down there, so I was talking to that nigger of his that was working on the tractor. So he's going to jump me off of the jumper cable. So I had to walk all the way back to the house, get the jumper cables, and walk back down there. Freddie happened up, and so he jumped me off of the truck. I got back in the yard, and I called her and let her know that I was back. The phone had been ringing. That's when you were calling.
I was calling you, and we called you.
And I didn't know whether it might be the school, you know, and there's three different schools.
What time did you call me?
You were bit your phone with
you. I got that.
And I didn't want to call each school and say, well, hey, did you call me, you know? I thought, well, instead of me going over there, let them come over and visit me, I'd be right there by the phone.
Yeah.
If it rang again, I'd be home. So they were coming over. And about that time, you called and said that that it had been you calling. So come on over here. So I said, well, all right, we'll all get together and come on over there. So here we are.
I was strongly tempted to call right back and say, we just come over there.
Oh,
I
wish you had.
And her car was all coming in her car, and her car wouldn't start.
So we have really been in a mess today. Not done a darn thing.
You haven't got anywhere.
I might as well stay in bed all day.
Is Mary's old trucks on there?
Only one would have come.
Well, you keep that. Don't you let anybody trade that off.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a turnabout day. Berman called me somewhere around along the line. I forgot to tell him. I don't know whether he thinks I'm a Mrs. Guthrie's Julius or where. I don't know if he calls again.
We were trying to get Shirley to see about Grandma, and then she called you. She tried to catch you. Thought maybe she'd gone up there to take care of him or something. You know, you always expect the worst.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And your back was hurting you, and now
he's much better.
You got symptoms now.
A little bit of a sore throat. But Berman is doing a lot better. He's not near as busy as he was. There for a while, he couldn't hardly stand up. And I worry about him driving into work, you know. And I told him, I said, if you get dizzy, you pull off the side of the road. I tried to get him to stay home. He wouldn't stay home. He said he thought he could break it.
wouldn't want to be in that traffic feeling dizzy.
And him going up and down those stairs over there like a maniac, I was afraid that he'd get dizzy and fall downstairs.
Well, that's right. He got stairs over there.
Yeah, he said go up and down stairs a lot. Covers quite a bit of territory. But he's all right now.
What happened to Julia? I thought she was a picture of health.
Well, her daughter had to take her baby in for a checkup, and she goes with them.
Yeah.
They got a little baby, and she carries it in for a checkup about once a month, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Gilman told me yesterday she was with her. You went to Hawthorne?
Mm-hmm.
And she was real despondent and said that she was beside herself because I hadn't been over there to see her. And so we had planned to kind of cheer her up this morning. Hadn't even seen her. So she took off with a net earlier before we even got a chance to get over there. So I haven't seen her yet.
And I think she's worrying herself to death about her teeth.
Maybe so.
They're going to pull her eight Saturday and put her plate right back in, and I said, that's silly, I would never have it done. And she says she just goes in there and she just goes all to pieces. She just goes to pieces when she goes to it. She just hates to have her teeth pulled, scared of it. I used to do the same thing, man. I used to just cry. And nearby scared me to death. Thoughts of having my teeth pulled.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as bad as it seemed.
Oh, that dentist knocked me out. I didn't know nothing about the teeth pulled.
Well, she's high strung anyhow. She's,
yes,
she doesn't need anything, her teeth to bother her. She's,
Well, you know, I never saw Julia, but I thought she was just solid as a rock. She high strung?
Oh.
Well, she must not be kin to Martha.
She is, but I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how in the world.
She's
by marriage.
Marvin's brother's wife.
Oh, by marriage, you see.
Right.
She is.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. That's
and I tell you, Julia's a good woman. She'll do you a favor just like that. And she'll turn right around just like that and cuss you out and not have a thing in the world to do, won't she?
Mm.
That won't last long?
No, sir. It won't last
She's
long.
Very unpredictable. You never know what
so
she's
So you just don't pay much attention?
Just don't pay much attention. Just go on about it. And if she just wants to act nice to you, well, I just don't pay her no attention.
Yeah.
And then she just might just cuss you out and then see you in an hour's time and just be alive and in
something. What's her husband's name?
Preston.
Why'd Preston run into her?
Over there around Campville. She's kin to him. I think she's second cousin.
To Pat?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that, no.
You
I knew.
Pat.
Uh-huh. Pat is Marvin's brother.
Yeah.
We've always called
and
him Pat.
And some kin. I think it's second cousin.
Well, Ella Mae and Snow are kin, aren't they?
No.
No?
No, sir. None that I know of. One of the, yes, man and wife.
I thought there was some cousin along the line there somewhere.
Well, now, that's another set of cousins over there. At Campbell.
That's right.
Now, I haven't been around over there. Of course, I haven't been around over in your neighborhood much. See who is. You know who used to live on your place?
Goodness, everybody did it one time or another, I guess.
She don't know anything like that. She was trying to think. She's saying that one of these school teachers up at Hawthorne could tell her. Miss Mary sat over the other day and told us all about your four predecessors.
Really?
Mr. Sal Fallon. And
Miss
Sally, that was his daughter, they lived there.
Yeah.
And then some people from Georgia moved there. And
Now he was.
Mr. Rutledge lived there, and I don't know, just Miss Beckham lived there.
Beckham? Well, she's one of the school teachers.
Yeah. But now Mr. Fowl, he was the best one.
Yeah.
He had that long
beard.
He's the one that made the booze?
No. No, not Mr. Fowl Pond. I don't think he did.
Who's the fellow that's over there making all the...
Wait now, it's Julius. Sister Ellery was married to him. Medlock.
Medlock
Mannings.
That's all new to me. Never heard the name.
Yes, Medlocks lived over there and they stole everybody's hogs that they could. Skin them and stuff to hide it down the gopher hole. That sure did.
Well,
no wonder we're going from bad to worse.
And that was in your time.
Yes,
worse
sir.
To
I know all about it.
The Medlock.
Ma'am?
Medlock.
Medlock, one of the boys that used to live there, married Ella Reese.
Who is Mrs. Middleton? What was her name before she married?
Wait now. I know who she is.
Was she a Medlock?
No, she was, her mother was a Pollen, and, her mother married, oh, heck. You know Aubrey Middleton?
Yeah.
Well, he married her daughter. Her mother
Pollen.
And Ernest
Pollen.
She was Pollen. Uh-huh. Her and Ernest Pollen was brothers and sisters. Oh, I can't think of that man's name now to save me. But that big old house there next to the filling station belonged to her mother and daddy.
What big old house?
In Hawthorne.
Oh.
Next to Middleton Service Station.
Well, it would be her grandparents that had something to do with it. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mr. Pollen was her grandfather. Miss Sally was her aunt.
Well, they must have had it quite a few years.
Well, the Pollens owned it, see.
For how long?
Oh, I don't know. They owned it, Miss Sally. She was an old maid, and her and Mr. Pollen lived there, and Miss Sally raised her kids.
A good long while.
Good long while. Miss Sally got in bad health, and she moved to Hawthorne.
Well, Mrs. Middleton must be around 65 at least, or between 65
Ms.
and 70.
Middleton? I imagine.
Uh-huh. So it was her grandmother? So goodness, it had to be well over 150 years ago.
Well, see, I didn't ever know her grandmother. Her grandmother was dead. But Miss Sally, that was her aunt, Miss Middleton's aunt. And her grandpa stayed there. On the old farm place where you at. Two-story building.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rutledges, they lived there, and I couldn't tell you the number.
Well, she said her grandmother grew up on the place. That's why I was so...
Miss Middleton?
Yeah.
Well...
That's why I was,
mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't figure out how the Pollens had it so many years, and all these other people ended up there, you know. Wasn't there a Jackson family there, too?
Not that I know of, no. Could have been, but I don't
There's
know.
Something about a Jackson family on the abstract.
And Ernest Pollen on the place here in Evingston.
Mm-hmm.
Right in this two-story building. He moved him and his wife here, and he bought an old Dodge car. Miss Sally gave them theirs, and Miss Millard Bone was a high flyer. And they got down so till they moved back out there on the farm. And Ernest Fallon tried to sell that whole place where you all at to Mr. Guthrie for $1,000.
Oh, my.
He had that old car, and that was in the 30s when money was so short.
That's right.
Oh, I'm telling you, if you was in, if you didn't have a little money in the studies, you were in bad shape. Because it's hard to get a hold of.
It was. It's getting that way now.
Can you imagine that?
With us anyway.
And Baron Denon owned the Denon place, and he tried to sell it to Marvin's daddy for $100. So Mr. Townsend was living on the place.
Old Mr. Townsend lived on that place.
Yes, sir.
He died there too, didn't he?
Oh, no, he died at the Paulson place.
He did.
Oh, he did.
But he tried to sell the whole shebang to Mr. Townsend for $100.
I thought he died of a heart attack on that place, or was that
who?
Marvin's daddy.
He did, or something. He just went and lay down on the porch and died.
He'd started out fishing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Went and put his car keys in the Model A. Turned around and went back to the porch and lay down and died. Duty said she heard something. And she looked and she said that she hollered for her mama, and before her mama got there, he was done gone.
Now, she died, too, there, because, didn't she?
Mm-mm.
She didn't.
No, ma'am, she died up yonder in Rossway General.
Mm. I'm interested in that medlock. How many was there?
Oh, there was a bunch of them. The old man, the old lady, and a girl, and I don't know how many boys. We didn't have much to do with them. But they made moonshine, they stole hogs.
Well, now you see, that's the kind of neighbors I've been looking for all this.
You?
Well, there ain't no neighbor. There ain't no hogs to steal now.
And there ain't no moonshine.
No.
You see, they catch you up on the sugar.
Life is getting dull.
you know, Frank Hines that used to care the mail, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know how come he don't care the mail today?
They won't let him.
Well, you know what?
He's in jail.
Huh?
He went to jail.
You know why? He was hauling moonshine. It was a mail.
With the mail?
Yes, sir. Delivering. Oh. That's all right. That's Marvin. They caught him with a load of moonshine. He was carrying moonshine in the mail, too. And they got him. But you know he got out of that thing? I don't know how in the world he got out of it.
He didn't get out of it. He went to jail.
Well, he didn't stay there long.
I know he stayed a year or two.
No.
That's not long enough, is it?
I don't think so, Mr. Miles.
Well, they told me he's one of the big operators.
He was. He was. He sure was.
In this whole country.
Absolutely.
And there's another big operator. I forget his name. But,
Manning.
Manning.
Yeah.
That's right.
Kiddo Manning.
Yeah.
How'd he carry his moonshine around?
Well, he hauled it in a car.
Yeah.
Hey, that may be Berman tracking me down.
Uh-huh. You know,
yeah.
That has a... you know, my old car is a bootleg special. You remember? That's what they look at it and see. You see, it sticks up in the end and goes down behind, and it's got all that power, and it looks like they're loaded with booze.
Yeah.
And that's what they say. Robert said somebody he knew, and I forget who it was, used to come. Robert Smith. The road used to go right back to his house. You see,
mm-hmm.
Between him and the cabins, and. He could tell when they loaded and
when they weren't.
And that's what they had, an old Chrysler 300, just like mine.
You remember
me telling you
that I tried to get Mr. Weaver to come do some work for me?
Yeah.
And he done some work for Tillman at Rochelle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, his daddy was Deputy Sheriff. Frank. Uh-huh. And Frank Hines had a big moonshine still on Waterford Ferrari. And they were out hunting it. He come there one day, the sheriff did, and Ben Tillman was his name. And I was smoking meat, and he said, "Where's Willie Guthrie?" Or Will or something. They were cousins. I said, "He's in there making moonshine."
Now look what a move you made for him.
Well, the smoke was coming out, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, "He's out in there making moonshine."
I missed that. What were you doing to me?
That was Ben Tillman.
Huh?
Ben Tillman, a deputy sheriff.
Yeah.
He was deputy. He lived at Rochelle. But Frank Irons had a moonshine still out there in front of him. And he come up there to ask, get some information, and I wasn't going to give him no information. He wanted to know where Will was at, and I told him he's out there making moves. He didn't even get out of the car and come look.
He went on back.
Did he give you a mean look? No, he went on back, and then he knew Willie Guthrie wasn't making no moves.
But did he know you pretty well?
Mr. Bender? Yes, he knew.
The deputy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They hunted and hunted and hunted and hunted, and finally at last they found it out there on Watson Prairie somewhere.
But it took them a while.
It took them a while.
He knew all the time they'd looking for it.
Sure he is. You know, I don't think that's right. I just don't think that's right for them to do that. That's destroying a man's property.
Yeah, and it's 6-1, you see. They never fight equal. Fair. They always gang up on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get the sheriff, dogs, and everybody else. This neighbor of ours there in Bethel, well, he lived about 20 miles east of us. Toward Christmas, Florida. He had a large family, and if there was anything crooked, he was sure to be in it.
Yeah.
Or the ringleader of the whole mess. And he came to our house one afternoon, and he says, "I got a nice deer in the car. I just butchered it." He said, "Would you like to have it?" He said, "My freezer's full." And he said, "I don't have any room for any more." And he said, "I shot this one out when I was out hunting." Well, we didn't stop to think about the date or what was in season, what was out of season. And he had this deer all butchered and skinned and everything. So we said, "Sure, bring them in." And we put them on the kitchen table, and we were cutting them up to put them in the freezer. And he took off. He went back home 20 miles east of there. A little bit later, now this is out in the country, and you don't see cops. You don't see a sheriff or anything. Well, a little bit later, we never even heard a car drive up. We were so busy quartering this deer to put in the freezer. And a knock came on the door. Berman looked up. There was the biggest sheriff he ever laid eyes on standing right in the frame of the screen door.
And y'all just guilty as you could look.
And here he had blood on his hands, and he had a butcher knife. And he went around the side of the petition in the kitchen, like, so the guy couldn't see him. He looked straight through the house to the kitchen from the porch. So Berman went off to one side so he couldn't see him, and he pulled the tablecloth up over the deer. He says, "Honey, you go answer the door." So I washed my hands real quick, and I went to the door, and I said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "You know Emmett Tanner?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Have you seen him lately?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, can you tell me where he lives?" I said, "Yes, I sure can." I said, "I'll show you if you want me to." He said, "I'd appreciate it." So I went in and grabbed my shoes. I was barefooted. I just came out from outside helping him. I grabbed my shoes, and I went out there to help him find him at Tanner's place 20 miles east of there, and I took him through every back country I could find, you know. And meantime, Berman was going to try to get through to a neighbor that was about 10 miles from Emmett's place to warn him that the sheriff was coming. You know, we figured from that the deer was hot. so he couldn't get a hold of Emmett. But by the time we got out to Emmett's place, after going through all the back roads in the country, we came up on Emmett's place, and Emmett's boys was out there, and Emmett wasn't home. And the sheriff asked him something. Well, they were talking off to one side, and I was talking to the boy's wife, and which is about my age. And I overheard him asking where his dad was. The boy says, well, he says, this is Emma Jr. He says, I don't know where daddy is. He said, he was here a little while ago. He said, oh, he says, did he bring home a deer? Emma says, well, if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. So that's all that sheriff had to go on. Well, there was fresh tracks leading out to going down the back where the hog pen was. So he followed that track on down to the hog pen and found Emmett down there. And coming back from the hog pen, both of them had a jug of booze. So I figured he was in the moonshine business too, as, you know, as well. And coming back, the sheriff was invited to have a drink with him. The sheriff was drinking, and he was drinking, and there was never anything more said about it. He took me back home again. Meantime, when I got home, I looked in the freezer. Brumman was out milking, and the meat was gone. There was no meat, no deer in the freezer. There was no deer around the place that I could find. And I asked Brumman, I said, what happened to him? When he came in from milking, he put the milk bucket down. He says, I want to show you where he's at. We went out back, and he dug the biggest hole and put that every bit of that meat. He says, I just knew that guy was going to arrest me with that deer. He says, and I didn't even shoot him.
Now you see,
he's buried. I could have killed him after I went all the way 20 miles east of there, all through the woods to try to keep him out in the woods while Berman was butchering the deer.
Well, now, Medlock was right there next to you. You didn't have to look around and see him up.
Medlock was right there. Right off in front of Miss Dodge. You know where they dug that, Hamilton dug that sand?
Yeah.
Well, right off to the left, there's the nicest little house sitting out there where Aunt Martha Mickens lived in.
Hmm.
And that's the old Medlock house, right? They live there.
Yes, they sure do. They lived in the big house. The Mickenses had done gone. They left there when Mr. Paul and Miss Sally left.
Oh, they did?
Went to McIntosh. And Martha moved to Micanopy. And then she finally moved up there by us in the old Turner house.
Martha?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did she? Well, gee whiz. You've had all sorts of neighbors, haven't you?
Yeah, all sorts of.
Except you don't have any now.
Just don't have any now.
You know something's happened to the neighbors. Down the road here towards 441, towards Micanopy. I used to stop there and talk to Amy Walker all the time. She lived with old Will Brown. And I'd sit on the porch there with her, or sit out there in the car and talk to her.
Isn't she dead?
Oh, yes.
She's the one that had her legs.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Well, you see, the place went to this young girl, Duty. That's not what they call her. It sounds like Duty. And you know, she and her husband lived there, and she got a couple of kids. I never see her, very seldom. And when I do see her, I generally, you know, holler like that, and she'll holler back, but never any talk takes place anymore. And it's a curious thing. You see, she brought up out there in the country, she's a country girl, and the boy, I don't know where he come from, but he didn't come very far.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any neighbors anymore.
They don't care for themselves. They just don't care for one another, or care about being around one another.
Yeah. Well, that's not only here and in the country. That's right in the heart of New York or anywhere else.
About
well, they might be more neighborly in the heart of New York than they are in here.
Well, I don't know about that. Mickey doesn't know one of her neighbors, and they're all crammed up like this against her place, so, gosh.
But Ms. Dodd, people used to get together and have suppers, you know, or dinners, or together, and they'd have a dance or a getting together. I know we used to have a dance at our house sometimes twice a week, and every Saturday night.
Wow, that tires me out just thinking about it.
Well,
and had all the young people there.
All the young people there. There's George and John Henry's sister Louise.
Mm-hmm.
She was the only girl then, you know, that was grown.
Mm-hmm.
And the Manninges and their sister. And oh, I just couldn't tell Ferguson. I couldn't name them.
Miss Boltnight is the one Mr. Guthrie liked.
That's right. She was a large, stout woman. But I don't know what they mean, but he said she was so light on her feet.
Mm,
yeah.
Usually heavy people are.
Is that right?
Yeah, usually they're much better.
Is that right?
So graceful.
That's this Ms. Boltnight's mother.
That's right.
Now, this one was a little girl, young. She might have been married back there, was she?
Which Boltnight are you talking about now? Louise?
George's wife.
No, George's wife. She was somebody else.
Oh, that's right.
George's mother.
Oh, that's right.
It was George's mother.
His mother.
George's mother, mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
I forget who her mother was.
Oh.
She lived down at the creek.
What the devil's her name?
Well, anyhow, people.
Ms. Boltnight.
I know, I'm trying to think of her name.
I can't think of that name.
Yeah.
Same on there.
Well, it was down the creek, wasn't it?
No, they were living at Mickey Dusty's. They weren't down there then. What in the heck?
I don't know. It's gone. It's gone. I can't find it.
Well, it weren't that many families.
You know, the
closest... I know my own name, but I can't think of it right now.
You know, here's a curious thing. See, I was going to say the closest thing to the Medlocks was Billy...
Dyson? Billy Hughes?
Hughes. But see, he turned out to be rich. Isn't that awful?
Is Billy Hughes rich?
He's got a new home now. And
where is it at?
I don't know. He's bought quite a bit of property.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he can afford to leave his fences down.
Yeah, I guess so.
But see,
he's selling out there toward, what's the name of that town?
Waldo.
Waldo. Out there near Waldo.
Well, I think he still is.
But
I passed there the other day and he struck us there.
Well, I don't know what he's doing in this old place, but he has that one new home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, just all this time I thought of Billy Hughes as just some old fellow from out in the woods.
Well, he is.
He is. He's just a.
He sure is.
He
ain't nothing but an old. Country hick, just like I am.
Just still like that?
Yeah, I see his daddy. His daddy's been to my house lots of times.
His daddy?
Mm-hmm. Billy Hughes, his daddy.
Was his daddy?
He's made money somehow. I don't know how he made it, but he's made it just a woman of 5 or 6 years.
He made a killing on one mom.
Yeah, and he sent his he can send his children to private schools and build a nice home. So just in the last few years, so it's coming in from someplace. I don't know what he's doing. I better find out.
Private school. And his daddy was just like him?
Mm-hmm.
Just an old country fair hick.
That's right.
Handled woods cows?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if he's making moonshine on the
side. I don't know if he could have. But Billy's daddy's not been dead very long.
Shirley, tell Suzanne about that old gal that used to jump in and out of your place.
Oh, yeah, well, she's been gone a long time.
See, he had them big woodchucks, them big brimmers, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And she wouldn't stay out for a head. We'd fix the fence to put her out, get him to put her out, and she'd jump right back in again. He just wouldn't stay out. And half of his cattle was getting bred by our bull. Oh, boy. Now, every time he comes out to feed the cows, you know, he drives as fast as he can right by the house, so we're out there to stop him. It got so every time he'd go by, I'd run out there and stop and say, well, you got another cow in, you know, down here. The last time I stopped him, there was one of his calves, yearlings, was sucking one of my cows.
Oh, and, that's a new one.
Yeah, and it kind of made me mad, so I stopped him and told him about it, and I think he got kind of burned up about it. He said it wasn't sucking our cow, and I said, well, I was down right there watching it, you know. So I said, well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's just looking like she's sucking. He said, well, I'll try to get her out. He said, you suppose you could walk her out of there? And I said, well, I've tried it before, but all she does is just make a big circle and come right back again. Or she jumps out when I get out of the field and she jumps back in again. So he was going to get his horse and run her out.
Miss Noll, and you all had lunch? You sure of it?
We waited, and then you all didn't come. We went ahead and had a bite.
Well, I didn't want to. Did the cow jump again, or did you just go through it?
Oh, no, he jumps it. Jumps it just like it's not even there, just like a deer coming right on over the highest fence you can.
I just can't imagine that.
I can't imagine the cow.
Have you seen the cow do that?
Yes. That's what Mrs. Bassett's bull done. Stand flat footed and jump that full.
Now that's a heavy
bull. And they don't believe it.
Short legged bull.
Stand flat footed and jump a full strand fence. Sunday evening, we gathered up their bulls and we put them in the trailer and we haul them home.
Are they jumping into your pasture then?
Yeah. Well, I ain't got much pasture, but then I have to feed them.
Yeah,
that's
Then they come over there and want to eat your hay, want to jump in your grass, a little bit you got for them.
And Billy, you wouldn't want to be in any hurry to get them back, would he?
There's three bulls over there.
They were gaining weight. They were getting bred, they were gaining weight, so he was in no hurry to get them out.
And they got over in your ride.
Yeah, that was the last straw. They haven't been back since. That was the only time Berman suggested killing something that didn't belong to him.
But there used to be some kind of law about that. If a man let his cattle in another person's pasture, he'd have to.
Well, there is, but you start hard feelings, and then what? And then you're worse off than you.
Well, what about those bulls, Miss Mather? You mean recently?
Last Sunday night. No, we went after them Sunday, and they weren't up, but we hauled them Monday. Hauled Carter Glisten's, we put him in his pasture, and Miss Bass is in her pasture.
And you'll have that to do from now on.
That's what I told Marvin.
That's terrible.
It always happens come dead of winter. There's plenty of grass out there. We wouldn't care so much.
I told Marvin to put them in the chute and castrate them.
That's an idea.
That's come back over there. I'm going to need none of them.
What am I doing to?
Get them in that shoe.
Now I'll know what'll happen to my prize bull. If he doesn't come serviceable, I'll know you better.
No, your bull don't bowl.
No, he's too lazy. He's
You know what Miss Bass told me? She said, And Marvin, she said she didn't need a bull. She said that she was going to sell them. That Mr. Arnold told her that when one of her cows needed a bull, put him in her his pasture. Now, can you imagine her? She ain't never home. Driving one of her cows down to put him in the pasture. I wouldn't do that if I didn't ever have a cow for you.
No, me neither.
Well, I would. I just despise these old bulls.
She'd end up with old cows, you know, Ben Arnold. She won't even have a cow, never mind the calf.
Oh, they just stay over there.
Why do you despise your bull?
Oh, you gotta feed him and take care of him and keep him in a separate place and all.
Oh, you don't have to keep him in no separate place.
Well, now, if I leave him in here with these cows in the cabin, they'll breed back.
Take the heifers out. It'd be easier, wouldn't it, to put them in another field than it would be to shut him up, or would it?
Well, they're not in there with him.
No.
Or in their field. I'm talking about the cows.
Oh.
They'll breed back with the cows?
Them cows will breed right back, you see, after the calf.
Well, that's what you want them to do.
Well, I'm in no hurry.
But you ain't as bad a case as I'm in. You don't need money like I do. Mine can't have cake fast enough for me.
I just wait 2 or 3 months in there. And, you know, it's a peculiar thing how people do. They get an idea that you can't put a bull in with a herd until the 1st of April.
Oh, that's silly. What did people used to do when they just had the cows wide open in the woods, no pasture, no fence, no nothing?
Yeah.
And they claimed that a bull shouldn't go with his daughter. That don't hurt a thing in the world.
Well, now let me tell you, I saw this fella, Maxie Mixon, over here. I told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
He got cows over there. They mixed cows. And he don't wean the calves. He just lets the cow wean the calves.
Well, that's what the people used to do. You know, they run loose in the woods. And people didn't separate the calves from the cows.
But you know, I've seen cows, you take a calf 6 months old, still sucking a cow, and I've seen that cow go the length of time that she's nursing that calf without breeding. She won't breed right back with a big heifer sucking on a calf over 6 months.
Yes, do.
Some of them will, some of them won't.
Yes, do, and they're always fat. I never saw such healthy cattle.
Who is that that's coming?
Maxie Mixon. He's over here past the Shiloh community.
Mm-hmm.
Back over there. He's an old farmer. One few left.
That's the truth. I
he
never saw
such. He has corned Herefords over there, does he?
No, they mix the Angus and Herefords.
Do you used to have a horned Hereford bunch there? Seems like we know him, but I don't.
Well, he has one of the
no,
most.
No, it's Lovett. Lovett, I'm thinking of.
He has the most beautiful calves, I tell you.
Oh, they're huge. When he sells a calf, it's almost a cow.
Well, you know, it's unbelievable. People wouldn't believe it. But before the no fence law come into effect and everything was fenced off, there was Mr. Sam Turner and Mr. Guthrie, and everybody had cows that mixed. And we had some cows, had two cows that I remember in particular, that every time they had a calf, Mr. Guthrie had to tie her to a tree and milk her because she'd give so much milk. She'd kill the calf. And now the old cows don't have enough to eat to give milk. Have to feed them and, why heck, we never no more thought nothing about feeding a cow.
No.
Isn't that something?
And nobody believe it now, are they?
Well, look at Billy Hughes' cows. They're all bigger than ours.
And he never feeds
them. He never feeds them. Big old robust to a cow. I'm telling you, they're some of them and make two of our best cow down there.
Ain't you seen his?
Mm-hmm.
They look like they used to.
Those that stay down there around the swamp are way much better off. Those
yeah.
that stay up on the front part there, those are the ones he loses every year. But he loses. That's another thing. He loses so many of them a year, I can't see how he makes anything. Now.
How did they just starve?
Well, a lot of them do die of starvation. Some of them just
when
can't make it.
Bad winter. Oh.
Yeah, they just can't make it. But now, on a winter like this, I imagine he probably doesn't have to give much hay out, does he?
I don't
they
think
make
he
it
ever
pretty
feeds
good.
Anything. He just gives them salt.
Down around those swampy areas, they really make good out this time of year, like this kind of weather. But now last year, he lost piles and piles of cows out of there. That's what I say. I can't see how he could. And those that he did have looked real bad. You know, it depends on the weather. You know, in the winter that we're having. But this year they were real good. They look better than ours, and we've been pushing the hay to them. And some of them I've been feeding. So I don't know. Maybe they've got something.
Surely I don't know. When I come out here, got to inquire around and found out the people who lived here before I got here. And I thought to myself, look what things have come to with me out here. All sorts of nice, interesting people lived here before I did. And here I am.
Well, all the old generation is about gone.
Oh, yes, my
husband
says, oh, what did they do?
Well, we just got to get together and make a little moonshine and make a name for ourselves.
That's right.
Fields in my log.
And stuff the skin down the gopher
holes? That's right.
Or you could go out in the woods with a little corn on the ear of corn and they'd follow you around, wouldn't they?
Well, sure. And then the hogs used to come up in our front yard at night, and you could hear them quacking hickory nuts. They'd eat hickory nuts. Acorns.
Well, Berman's almost been gored twice in the ground by old boars. And he told me, he warned me, he said, don't go out in the fields, out in the woods, looking for a cow with a bucket of feed. You know, when that old heifer was out, I'd go out with a bucket of feed looking for that heifer.
Yeah.
Yeah, here are cow. You know, here I'm walking around this big old palm meadows and everything with this bucket of feed. I never once thought about the hogs.
Yeah.
And one of the deputies came out, not game warden, came out from the back part back there. And he says, have you seen any of these hogs running around out here? And I said, what hogs? And that was the first time I remember what Berman told me about going out in the woods with a bucket of feed. And he says, well, I see tracks all in through here, but I haven't seen any. Well, I don't want you to know, I went lickety-split to that house, and I haven't been back in there since. But there is hogs, but you said there was hogs back in there.
Yeah, all of them, put them in.
And I haven't run across any yet. I hope I never do. But Berman went out there in the field, you know, to kill those that was getting in the watermelon, and he liked to get bored in the ground with one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he went out at night, after dark one night, with a flashlight and the gun. And he was going to kill whatever it was eating his melons. He could see hog tracks. He knew it was a big old hog from the tracks, or several of them. And he got down there in the middle of that watermelon field, and I told him, I said, when you fire, I said, make sure you fire three shots. At least, if you fire two shots, fire the third one, I'll know you're all right, you know, so I wouldn't worry about it. Because sometimes he'd stay, and he wouldn't get back to the house. Well, he fired three shots at the hog, and the hog hit him, went by him one time, huffing and a puffing, and it was foggy down there too, and he tried to hit him, and he missed him, and the hog went right straight by him, and the hog turned around and come back for him again a second time, and he hit him the second time with a shot, but he only wounded him.
I've had some folks call.
And
what?
Well,
have you?
On Lawrence Lake, yes, sir.
What happened?
Well, we used to go down there together, hogs and the old male hogs in the woods. I got on a mini log, crawled up a mini log to get out of the way.
They couldn't get up.
I wouldn't want to get in a tangle with them things. Nothing.
You don't know, didn't know them days what cell manufacturers full of hogs.
Oh, really?
Full male hogs line up, you know.
And if you, have they got suspicious, they'd come after you?
I mean,
they don't have to see you. They come for the noise, don't they? They head for the noise.
They can smell you, too.
Yeah.
And you just shinny up a tree?
Yeah, they'd be on an old log, leaning log, handy, and I'd go up that.
If one was handy.
Well, most of the time I was pretty close to the truck. I could get in the truck. But I'm running from a mini one. And help Marvin tie down, you know. Bar or a gilt or something, and one charge at us, and he'd tell me to run, and I'd run.
Run to the truck.
I'd run to the truck.
What was he doing to
him? Carrying him to the house, putting him on feed.
Oh, yeah.
We used to raise peanuts and chupers.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
But no, that wasn't that in place. That was over at your house.
Over at the house.
And you had to catch him and haul him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee whiz.
Haul him to the house.
But I never heard of that.
That's what a lot of the, Mr. Tanner, the one I was talking about to kill the deer, he caught a lot of woods hogs like that. And he'd pen them up. And then he'd kill them. He'd butcher them, and he'd sell them to neighbors around there that didn't know any difference from a wood hog and a tame hog, you know. You'd
yeah.
Made yourself. But I could sure taste it in the meat. I never did.
I spent a whole week in hog killing, and then didn't get through.
Yes, I've done that too, but I never done that other. You had hogs down there on the lake,
mm-hmm.
And you'd catch them.
Catch them up, carry them to the house, and put them in the field.
How'd you catch them up?
Well, we had dogs. We'd bail them, and we'd catch them. Then we'd tie them and put them in the truck, carry them to the house.
You mean the dog would bail them, and
yes,
Marvin
sir.
Would put a rope around them?
Yes, or slip up and catch a hold of the hind leg.
The little one.
Big ones, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these
look
wild hogs.
No, they're not one what you call wild. We'd, there'd be a few wild ones, but most of them we could feed.
Oh, I see.
But we'd have to gather them up and come to the house and put them on the feed.
And you couldn't lure them up there?
No, not that far.
Well, I never thought about your handling hogs. I was always them old cows.
Yeah, we used to have plenty of hogs till that land all went in game reserve.
And that's just recent.
And that just, they killed them out.
Yeah.
How many more years is that supposed to last? You know that's on my abstract, and I'm going to look
yeah,
it in
no.
and see. It was
five
for 10
years.
Years.
10 years?
Seems to me like it's been 20 years since it was in effect.
Seems like it.
Boy, we told them not that they couldn't hunt back in there. We got no hunting signs all over the place.
Have you?
I just don't care about them going in there slaughtering the birds. Those darn turkeys, they'll walk right up to the barn. They're not afraid of us, and if they see anybody walking back in there or driving back in there, they don't bother to hide.
Saturday morning, come a bunch of hens right up at the house, inside the field. Mom said, I want you to look at him.
Right,
I bet you there was, well, you were there one day when they went through there, about 20.
Mm-hmm.
They come right up to the barn, see, they eat the feed that spills over from the bucket, you know, and a lot of times milking a cow, and I'll spill some of the feed, and they'll come out to this barn for that feed.
tell you, it's never in the clock. I want you to go down there before you go now. Save a little time. I want you to look at these calves and see what you think about that bull.
I
want to
see them.
Yeah,
so
you know.
Better do that because it's
quarter till
three
now.
And you know, Suzanne can't get her car started. She doesn't know how to jump up, use a jump cable.
Yeah.
I don't know. Guys, you better go see if you can start.
I don't know either.
Well, if y'all let me borrow a car, I'll go up the gas station and find out from them.
Then one of the clamps came off my wire, off the jumper cables. I threw them in the back of the truck back here. One of the clamps fell off of it. So I don't know whether it'll work or not.
We'll get you started.
That's the end. That's channel one right, the end of channel one right around 900, and the end of the visit with Shirley, Ms. Guthrie, and Suzanne this Thursday afternoon, 27th of January, 72. Channel one right, the end of channel one right around 900, and the end of the visit with Shirley and Suzanne and Ms. Guthrie this Thursday afternoon or after lunch. 3 o'clock, she said it was just then, the 27th of January, 72.